Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Can a lasting demilitarized zone in southern Gaza, in southern Syria, be maintained? How practical is it? And who exactly has the leverage to enforce it? Dr. Zeev Kanin is an associate professor with the Department of Political Studies. He's at Bar-Ilan University. He's a senior researcher at Ariel University. A very good morning. Thank you for joining us. The last week or so came as quite a shock, I think, to many in the region, including the IDF. What does that mean in terms of decisions going forward?
Good morning. Thanks for your invitation. Okay, so the story in southern Syria is not clear at the moment. More than a day ago, just a few hours, let me put it this way, it was believed that the conflict is over. And there was a pressure of the United States and Turkey and some other subjects that they were dealing in Syria that the conflict should be resolved.
Right.
And it's going to be, that means the sort of reaching understanding between Israel and the new Syrian regime is on the way. However, it became clear that regardless of position of official Damascus, of Julani himself, his followers, those who accorded him, are on the way from the radical Islamist movement to so-called legitimate power, are not so much happy with, first of all, with the reconciliation with Israel, on the one hand. And on the other hand, they still believe that the Syrian regime is not going to be like a semi-normal. They're still thinking, as far as I understand the situation, that Syria should be like governed by this sort of a Islamist regime. So what Julani himself believes in, it's a good question. It's clear that Mr. Julani is interested in removal of international sanctions against Syria and returning of investments. And it is it was on the way, let me put it this way. A sort of negotiations under the auspices of President of Azerbaijan, Ilham Kirov, took place in Baku. And even there was a meeting between Julani and the Israeli delegation governed by the Secretary of Israeli Council of Defense. But at the same time, we have to take into account that Israel has a sort of responsibility, or at least promised support and protection from protecting of ethnic religious minorities in Syria, especially take into account, like Druze, take into account that their friends and relatives and core tribe members in Galilee, in Israel, they are lobbying support of Druze community also in Syria. So Israel had to interfere because of two reasons. One reason, as I said, there is an endorsement from the side of loyal, patriotic, and actively supporting Israel in all the history of the Druze community, Israeli Druze community. And the second reason, actually, Israel is not, Jerusalem is not so happy about the situation in southern Syria. That means exchanging of former pro-Iranian front against Israel with a pro-Turkey front against Israel. And Turkey actually is the country which protects the and supports the current Syrian regime. So Israel was ready to stop. That means if Julani takes a responsibility to stop the this bloody conflict.
Right.
On the other hand, it's more or less clear that the current Damascus regime is unable to do anything at the moment, whatever they're interested to do or not interested to do. So meantime, the clashes between Druze community, armed Druze militia, and radical Islamist Arab Sunni Bedouin community is still continuing on, is still going on. And it looks like that there is no other choice for Israeli government rather than continuing a sort of a interference, like to put it this way, and to attack the terrorist groups there.
Well, because as well, I imagine that that Israel must have come under tremendous pressure from the Druze community within Israel and within the IDF to act. If they didn't, they certainly could have risked losing that loyalty.
There is a sort of a risk, of course. Still, we have to take into account another point, if you please. Mm. This means that Israel, after the war or this strong clash with Iran, an attack of Iran in nuclear objects and other players like missile objects and so on, Israel returned the status of regional superpower, military superpower. Mm-hmm. And as a result of that, we can have like a diplomatic result of that not a few Middle Eastern countries are ready to consider or were ready to consider seriously joining the Abrahamic Accords, and that's what actually was a reason of or was an aim of Washington, and there was in Israel. It also was an interest of Israel. And in this situation, the Israeli promise means something. If Israel took responsibility or promised to support and to protect ethnic and national and religious minorities in Syria, and will not do that, it will be very questionable whether it makes sense to deal with Israel. Actually, we had the same story in the year 2000, as you remember. Mm-hmm. Israeli one-sided pull out from southern Lebanon, and some people say betraying of local Christians. Some other issues of this sort. So probably Israel cannot continue this policy. But internal discussion within Israel, whether it's our business or not our business in Syria, it's still continuing. So there is one point of view in this issue.
That's where we do need to leave it. Dr. Zev Kanin, thank you as always. Associate Press Professor with the Department of Political Studies at Bar-Ilan University, Senior Researcher at Ariel University. It is coming up to 8:30, just taking a look at some of your messages. I see Carol Z says, the point that Nick Rabinowitz made about the jewelry is true. Well, what did he say, Nick Rabinowitz? He said he knew that not Karina. What was her name? I really can't remember. He knew she wasn't Jewish because the jewels were fake, but the orgasms were real.